I asked him, I said, describe to me, if you can, what happened inside of you. And he said, certainly. He said, when I close my eyes, I'm not praying for anything. He says, I'm feeling the feeling of rain. So when I close my eyes, I feel the feeling of what it feels like to stand in my village with my feet naked in the mud. And the mud is so thick, it's oozing up between my toes because there's been that much rain. And he said, I engage my senses. I smell the smell of what the rain smells like when it rolls off the earthen walls of the homes in our village. And I feel the feeling of what it feels like to run naked through chest-high stands of corn. The corn is so high because there's been so much rain. And he said, in that way, I'm calling to the rain. And in that way, I am praying my prayer. We put our things back into our bag, headed back into the road. David went to his home, I went to my home. That evening, the most interesting thing happened. Over the Sangre de Cristo Mountains to the east, big black clouds came in just before sunset. It was a sight that was welcome and had not been seen for many, many weeks. Before the sun went down that day, it began to rain. And it rained and rained and rained and rained. And by early the next morning, the rain had been so plentiful and the ground had been so dry that it could not absorb it fast enough, and there was actually flooding in low-lying areas. And I called my friend David, and I said, David, what in the world is this all about? What's happening here? And David was silent on the other end of the phone, and he said to me, he said, well, that's the part of the prayer I haven't figured out yet. He said, well, we can ask and feel the feeling of the rain. He said, but I have not figured out how to know how much to bring. Now, I have to say, as a scientist, there is no way for me to say that the prayer that David offered that afternoon had anything to do whatsoever with the rain that came that evening. As a scientist, I have to say that. I also have to acknowledge the correlation. The correlation was so high. There had not been any rain for so long. And the rain that came that day was so localized. It was fascinating. On the weather maps, I was pulling in the station from northern Colorado, from the Denver-Boulder area. And I remember the weatherman looking at the graphics on the weather map, and he saw the jet stream coming from California across Nevada and Utah, just as it always does this time of year. And then when it got to the Front Range, to the Denver-Boulder area, the jet stream did a big dip right down into northern New Mexico, did a tight U-turn, and went right back up into Colorado and on across to the Midwestern states. And I remember the weatherman, he looked at that and he stood back. And he held his hands up to his chin in contemplation, and he said, huh. And that was all he said. It was a very anomalous weather pattern. So I have to say that, at the very least, the correlation between the time of the prayer and the pattern of rain exists. And when we put this within the context of what the ancient peoples tell us about their relationship to the forces of nature, including weather, what it means in their lives, it begins to make more sense. So what happened? What happened in David's example of the rain? Well, earlier in this program, we began describing the field of energy that permeates all of creation, the field of energy that links everything together, that's been with us from the time of the very beginning, the field of energy that has an intelligence that responds to human emotion. And from our understandings of this field of energy, what we could say in very real terms through laboratory and experimental evidence and anecdotal evidence as well, is that what we become in our beliefs is what we experience as our world. What we become in our beliefs, not what we think, what we become in the beliefs of our heart, what we feel, is what we experience in our world. And this is precisely the understanding that so many of the native peoples have regarding this modality of prayer. What David did was he felt the feeling as if the rain had already occurred. And if you recall our time with our meeting, the Tibetan holy man in 1998 and again in 2001, when I asked the holy man a very simple question through the translator, I said, when we see you and the monks and the nuns, when we see your chanting and the tones that you make, the ohms and the mudras and the mantras and the bells, the bowls, the gongs, the chimes, when we see your prayers for 14, 16, 18 hours a day in the chanting halls on the outside, what happens to you on the inside? And the holy man said to me, "You've never seen our prayers, because a prayer cannot be seen." He said, "You've witnessed the things that we do to create the feelings in our bodies, and the feeling is the prayer." And now David is telling me precisely the same thing. He did not ask for rain.